Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Psalm 72, verse 18, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things." Now, we called your attention really to the last part of that verse and used it as a launching point, "who only doeth wondrous things." And this morning, I began preaching on this thought: worship that is born out of wonder. When we see how wonderful He is, it should cause us to worship Him. Amen. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You, God, for helping us this morning. God, thank You, Lord, for the good singing tonight thus far, the good spirit in the service. God, thank You, Lord, for a church that's mission-minded and wants to help with world missions, God. Lord, I pray that over the next few minutes, You'd help us recall the things in which we've studied. I pray, God, that You give us fresh oil tonight. Preach us and use us, God, tonight as only You can. And we'll give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Again, I started this morning on worship born out of wonder. We began talking about how God can only do wonderful things. Matter of fact, we went to Jeremiah and called our attention to verse number 3 of chapter 33, where He said, "Call unto Me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knewest not." We made reference to what Mary said in Luke chapter number 1 and verse 49. "For He that is mighty hath done to Me great things." And He is a wonderful God tonight. Amen. That word "wondrous" means to be marvelous, be wonderful, be surpassing, be extraordinary, separate by distinguishing actions, to do extraordinary or hard or difficult things, to make wonderful, and to do wondrously. And when we think about God tonight, we can truly say that He is a wondrous God tonight. Amen. Number one, this morning I preached on the adoration that God deserves. Of course, we looked at that first word, "blessed," in verse 18 of our text. And in this word, we find that the expression of adoration, and that word adoration means this: the act of paying honor to a divine being. The adoration that God deserves. God deserves us giving Him praise. God deserves us worshiping Him tonight for who He is. We talked about this morning. There's the attitude of adoration. Then there's the action of adoration. And then we closed out with there is the announcement of adoration. Our attitude of adoration will help our action of adoration. And if our attitude and our action of adoration is right, then it will not be long till there'll be an announcement made about the goodness of God and how good He is. True adoration does not remain hidden in the heart, and it does not stop with a posture alone. It finds its way to the lips of the believer, and he begins to announce how good God is. Worship born out of wonder will always result in a verbal praise, and we talked about that. Number two tonight, I want to move on. We see the adoration that God deserves, and I want to just say this in passing: He does deserve the adoration tonight. Amen. He does deserve the praise tonight. He does deserve the honor tonight. There is no one else that deserves that. He and He alone deserves deserves the adoration that we give to Him. Number two tonight, I not only see the adoration that God deserves, but I want you to see this. I want you to see, number two, the acclamation that God declares. The acclamation that God declares. Note again in our text verse, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. There is an acclamation that God declares here. The psalmist is responding to God's revelation and declaration of Himself as the Lord God and the God of Israel. God has many names, and each name that He has declares His personality and who He is. Look at the names of God that the psalmist used here in 72:18. He uses the word Lord, God, and then the God of Israel. First, notice this with me in the acclamation that God declares. He declares the permanent God. The permanent God. That's always been, that still is, and always will be. He is a permanent God. Notice the name Lord there. It's capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. You'll notice in your Bible that the name is in all capital letters. Whenever you see the name Lord written in all capital letters, it indicates that He is referring to the name Jehovah. Among all the names of God, none is more significant and sacred than this name. The name declares God to be the self-existing and unchanging God. Can I say this about Him tonight? He is the self-existing and the unchanging God. He said, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. What that means is simply this. What He done in days gone by, He can do today. Why? Because He is a permanent God. Revival does not have to be something that we read about in history books. But God's still God. God has never changed. God will never change. He is a permanent God. He's a permanent God. I thought about this. Newby defines it as this. He that always was, that always is, and that ever will be to come. Matter of fact, Revelation said it this way. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. You know what He's saying in Revelation? He's saying this. In Genesis 1:1, I was Him. All from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 21, I'm still Him. And He's saying this. When tomorrow comes, He'll still be God. When the darkest valley comes, He'll still be God. When the greatest storm of your life comes, He'll still be God. He was, He is, He ever will be. He's an almighty God. He's a permanent God. That's what He's saying to us. There's the permanent God. I'll skip on. There's several other things I've got wrote down, but not only do we see that He is the permanent God, note again your text, blessed be the Lord God. The Lord God. We note that He's a permanent God, but the second name He uses is God. I see that He's not only permanent, I see that He's powerful. We serve a powerful God tonight. Well, yes, He is. The first name we are given by God is to declare Himself. It is the same name, the second name that we find is given to declare Himself. It's the same name that we find in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Whenever you study that out, you'll find that it means Elohim. It's the name that declares God as an almighty God. Amen. He's an almighty God. What did the Bible say in Ephesians chapter number 3? He said, now unto Him that is able to do. To do whatever He wants to. Amen. The writer goes on to say, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Can I just say this to you tonight? We serve a permanent God, but we also serve a powerful God tonight. There's no situation that's so bad that God can't take care of it. There's no mountain so high that God can't take care of it. There's no sinner so long that God can't save them. There's no home so busted up that God can't put it back together. He's powerful tonight. Oh yes, he's permanent, but he's powerful. He's a powerful God. And then I like this, and I'll move on. He's not only a powerful God and a permanent God, but know what he says again. Blessed be the Lord God. Now watch this. The God of Israel. Yes, I'm glad that he's permanent. He's not going nowhere. Are you with me? He's always been. He always will be. He's a permanent God. I like that. He's a powerful God. Oh, yes. I was thinking about this. And this young man was here this morning. Just a couple days ago, Brother Stan was at work. And they was pulling a pump out of a well. And the guy that he was working with didn't know he was saved. Brother Stan began to give him the gospel, standing over there working. Thank God for a good, godly, a boss man that didn't get mad at you. Amen. Are you with me right there? A lot of people say, you can't talk about God on my job. Thank God for a good, godly boss man that promotes that. Brother Stan said, I'm not quoting him verbatim, but I'm sure it was something like this. Well, son, I know somebody that can help you. I know somebody that can change your life. Amen. I know somebody that can take you out of the mire and put you up in the choir. I know somebody that's powerful. And Brother Stan watched that young man bow his head and ask God to save him. He walked out this morning. He said, hey, my name's such and such. I got saved on the job site this week. We serve a powerful God. I like that. But I like this one better than any of them. He said, I'm the God of Israel. In that I see that he is a personal God. Oh, yes. He is a personal God. I remember Jacob will understand. I guess Jacob went out to smoke. Jacob, oh, he's back there at the security booth. Don't go out and smoke while you're back there, man. Something might happen. We need you in here. Watch it. He wasn't going to go out and smoke, I don't think. But watch this. He'll understand a little bit about this because he's part of my family. He don't understand it completely because he never knew my Pa Barker. But I remember growing up, and I grew up in a preacher's home. This is all I've ever known my whole life. And can I just say something about that? I'm thankful. I have no bad stories to tell. I'm not a recovering fundamentalist. I don't have anything to recover from. Thank God I am what I am by the grace of God and a mama and daddy that loved Jesus and preached Jesus to me. Mama did more than daddy. Now watch this. I remember we'd go to prayer room and my pa would be there, my pa Barker. And Mater Jenkins, daddy would be in there. And Uncle Larry would be in there. My Uncle Jerry would be in there. And Brother Brian, they'd begin to pray, and it just sounded like thunder. And I remember as a boy, I thought, how's God understand all this? Because he's powerful. That's how he could. Man, I'm telling you, they'd get to praying. I mean, the power of God would fall in the prayer room. Before you ever made it out to the service, the power of God would fall in there. Those old men would come out shouting into the service and always thought this, I don't know what that's all about, but I hope one day I do. I remember Brother Talbot Moore was preaching at camp meeting. Brother Matt, you remember those days. Miss Tina, you remember those days. And I remember Talbot Moore was preaching at camp meeting. This is the truth. He danced across the platform shouting. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, you might want to read your Bible. It's a couple in the Bible done it. And when they made fun of David, he said, you wait till tomorrow. I'll embarrass my own self. Now, I'm not about no bunch of mess. You understand that. I'll never forget, man, the Burns Trio would get up and sing. If you've never heard the old Burns Trio, man, you're missing it. I remember that lady, the older lady in it, she would begin to sing, oh, what a Savior is mine. And boy, them old timers would begin to shout. My granny, one of the only times I ever heard her shout, Jacob, the Burns Trio was singing, and granny cut loose to shouting, and here's what I thought. I don't know what all of that is, but I sure hope one day I understand it, and I get in on it. I'll never forget, God saved me. God called me to preach, and we was at Dry Creek Baptist Church in Robbinsville, North Carolina. And the McGill's Girls Home got to singing about Mephibosheth. And before I knew it, I had a Christian flag and I was making laps around it. Can I say something to you tonight? What they had and the power that was on their life. I said, God, I don't know what all of it is, but I sure would like some of it. I'm glad that I've got a God tonight. That's just not a God of my daddy and just not a God of my mother. But thank God I've got a God. That's my God tonight. He's personal. He's personal. He's a personal God. He said he's the God of Israel. Thank God he's real to me. He's real to me. There'll be times if you've never been there that you'll come to a place and wonder what in the world you're going to do. And I'm going to tell you something. In recent days, I've been there. The preacher don't stand up and talk about everything he goes through because he's trying to help everybody else go through everything. And I'm going to tell you something. Not long ago, my wife and I got to one of those places, and in the wee hours of the morning, when there wasn't nobody around, I just began to cry out, oh, God. Oh, God. Couldn't say nothing else. Didn't know nothing else to say. All I could do with tears running down my face was cry out, oh, God. And down there in the middle of that basement, in the middle of the night, thank God that permanent God, that powerful God, became a personal God to me. Hadn't come to where I was at. Thank God he's personal tonight. He's personal tonight. He's personal tonight. You say, preacher, I don't know him that way. You can. Oh, yes, you can. He's a personal God tonight. Well, worship that's born out of wonder. There's the adoration that God deserves. There's the acclamation that God declares. But then number three, and we'll go home. No, y'all go to choir practice. And I'll go eat pancakes. Number three. You say, not eggs and French fries tonight? No, I've switched up my Sunday night routine. It's pancakes on Sunday night now because Monday mornings I eat with some of my buddies and it's eggs and French fries on Monday morning. Number three, don't knock French fries with eggs till you try it. All right? And get you some avocado toast to go with it and make it even better. Number three, I not only see the adoration, I lost half the church. The adoration that God deserves. The acclamation that God declares. Number three, and we'll go home. Number three, I see the appreciation for what God does. I see the appreciation for what he does. Note again our text. He said this, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only, the only thing God can do is good. A matter of fact, it don't even say good. It says wondrous. The only thing that God can do is wonderful things. He can't do nothing but wonderful things. A lot of times, now I don't want to kill it, but if this kills it, it needed to be killed. A lot of times, we get our sin and our mistakes and our failures mixed up with the sovereignty of God. You go out and do something dumb and get out in sin. God didn't have nothing to do with that, Hoss. Because he said with every temptation, he makes a way of escape. And a lot of times we get our mess ups confused with God. God don't have nothing to do with that. Thank God He's long-suffering, will forgive us when we come back. But I'm going to tell you something. Anything God does, if it's of Him, it's only wonderful. He can't do nothing else. He can't mess up. Amen. He can't mess up. You say, preacher, you don't know how dark it is in my life right now. God can't mess up. Think about this, the appreciation for what He does. The psalmist says, He is the one who only doeth wonderful things. I see the assurance of what He does. The psalmist declares, only doeth wondrous things. The emphasis is on the word only. The psalmist is saying that everything God does is wondrous. He's saying that nothing He does is not wonderful. God only does great and wondrous things. A.M. Overton said this, My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul I'm glad to know He maketh no mistake. Can I say it again? Some of y'all didn't get it. A.W. Overton said, My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul I'm glad to know He maketh no mistake. Oh yes, there's the assurance of what He does. And then I'm done. There's the awesomeness of what He does. Can I say that again? The awesomeness. He's awesome tonight, man. I'm telling you, He's an awesome God. Listen to what the Bible said in Psalms 86:10. For Thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Psalms 145 said this, I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might and Thy terrible acts. And I will declare Thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of the great goodness and shall sing of Thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all and His tender mercies are over all His works. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. Simon Grunberg said this, God, the uncreated creator of everything. That's deep. Can I just say that? That's deep. He said, God, the uncreator or the uncreated creator of everything. What he's saying? He's always been, and the reason anything's here is because He's always been and decided to speak it into existence. Well, yes, some says that God stood up off of His throne and began to create the world. I just don't know that we can find that, but I can find this, that He spoke, and the world was. Oh, yes, the awesomeness of God. God created everything out of nothing in Genesis 1. What about Exodus 14? God parted the Red Sea. What about Exodus 16? God gave bread from heaven. What about Joshua chapter number 10 when God stopped the sun? What about 1 Kings chapter 18 when God brought fire from heaven? What about Daniel chapter number 6 when God shut the lion's mouth? What about Matthew chapter 14 when God walked on the water? What about John chapter number 11? When God raised Lazarus from the dead? What about that day in your life when you was dead in trespassings of sin and had nothing to do with God, but this great God, this powerful God, this omnipresent God came to you where you was at in your lost condition and rescued you out of the flames of hell and saved your soul and changed your life? He's an awesome God. Oh yes, He is. I thought about this. Miss Daniel's coming to start playing. But I thought about this. He's an awesome God. What about Revelation chapter 21 when He says this? He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. You know what that means? Here's what that means tonight. There's a brighter day coming. That's what that means. I don't understand God all the time. It's okay to say amen right there. Matter of fact, you've heard me mention it. I'm sure some of you's listening to it. But where Dr. Hiles preached that message on me and God doesn't always agree. If you haven't listened to it, you ought to go listen to it. There's sometimes that me and God don't always agree. I remember several years ago. Now don't condemn me right here, because I've got right with God since then. Don't do it no more. But I was on a golf course. And you said, why'd you quit playing? Because I cussed too much when I went. No, I'm just, we got visitors tonight. I really didn't. I mean, I thought about it, but I didn't say it. But watch this. I'll never forget, I was on a golf course. It was during camp meeting. October during camp meeting. My phone rung. I looked down, it said Mater. And I told them guys I was playing with, I said, I got to get this. I said, this is one of the preacher boys at my church, first guy to ever surrender to preach out of the church. And I said, his wife's been having some health issues. They've been going back and forth to the doctor. And they had a big appointment today. I really need to get this. So I answered the phone and got away from everybody. Mater said, hey, preacher, it's me. I said, hey, buddy. He said, I really need you. And I said, I tell you what. Let me get off the golf course. I said, I'll just leave them where I'm at. I'm going to go get Miss Leslie. And they was living up in Sparta then. And I guess that was considered Sparta up there where y'all was at. Pastoring a little church up there. God had miraculously changed their life. He said, we didn't get new good news with Bridget today. I said, I'll be up there in a little while. And we didn't even talk no more on the phone. We practically hung up. I left the golf course, went and got Miss Leslie. I called Daddy and said, hey, I'm not going to be at camp meeting tonight. I got to go be with Mater. And he said, well, what's the news? And I said, I don't know. And I'll never forget, we got up there and me and Miss Leslie walked in. And Mater and Bridget and the boys was there. And Bridget looked at us and she said, preacher, Miss Leslie, it's not good. And I said, well, what is it, hon? And she said, today they diagnosed me with sporadic Lou Gehrig's disease. Knew that, I know the majority of all of us here are very familiar with it. We've had numerous people in our church die with it. And we got people in our church that's got it right now. And I Bro Williams, I just didn't know what to say. And I've come far enough, but Kirkman, I don't know it all in this, but I've come far enough to know that it's okay not to say nothing. I just sat there. We cried. And I said, well, Lord's going to help us through it. We're going to pray God touch you, Miss Bridget. Pray God helps you. We prayed together. We prayed that day for God's will to be done. Fast forward not long at all. Miss Bridget went home to be with the Lord. Can I just tell you something tonight? Me and God don't necessarily agree on that. Her husband was pastoring a church. It was thriving, growing, busting out the seams. I don't know. And I still don't know today, Peyton. Mater, I still don't understand it today. Jacob and Elijah, the boys, are sitting back there still in church. Could have very easily got bitter at God for taking mom at such a young age, but they're sitting in church tonight, nodding her head at me as I was preaching. Daddy sitting there shouting while I was preaching. I don't understand all of it, but I know this, God didn't mess up. And the only thing God can do is wonderful things. I don't praise God, listen to me, I don't praise God for my situation. I praise God because He's sovereign. We don't praise God because of our situation all the time. The reason we praise God is because He's God. That's why we praise Him. That's why we lift a hand in the midst of the midnight and go, Lord, You're still God and You're still good. That's why when everything is going wrong in our life and we don't understand, we can still say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to choose to raise a hand and say, God, you're still God. You've never messed up. You've never made a mistake. I may not understand it. I never will understand it down here. But he told us there's coming a day that he'll make all things new. I'm glad this is not the end. I'm glad this is not the last of the story. Thank God there is a brighter day that's coming. For the Lord himself, that great God, for the Lord himself shall ascend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he goes on to say this, wherefore comfort one another with these words of the comfort that we have. The reason we still praise, the reason we still worship, it's because he's God. Because he's God. That's why we still worship. Worship born out of wonder.